How many of you have ever, well, lost part of my sermon here. How many of you have ever heard about people who go out and they buy a new home, and when they get into it, they have all these problems? And it's a brand new home. I know down in Florida, there was a construction company that went in and built two subdivisions at the same time. And because they had a time limit and they had a shortage of workers, needless to say, the workmanship was very shoddy. And people were spending, you know, $90,000 to $150,000 on a home, and when within a year after purchasing the property, they were actually getting gaps between the ceiling and the wall. It was literally an inch and a half to 2 inches where the house had settled. It's because the foundation wasn't prepared properly. You know, there are stories where even the wealthy can make a lot of mistakes in their home purchases. You know, many times they'll spend millions of dollars for homes. There's a story of Michael Eisner, the former CEO for Disney, and he designed his house himself. And he wanted one particular wall really thin because he didn't want to spend the money on the extra drywall, the thickness of the drywall. They said there was one wall that, had it actually been accomplished the way he wanted it, it would have been so thin that it would not have supported its own weight. There's another story of a software designer who saw this pine siding, and it was a special pine siding. It was an imported pine siding, and it was beautiful. The only problem is, despite people telling him, don't do it, he wanted this pine siding on the outside of his house. Well, the pine siding was not weather resistant. And before they even finished construction, it had already begun to rot. He spent $40 million on this home, and it was disintegrating around him. One architect said, you know, many builders or buyers find it boring to spend money on foundations and stud walls. They would rather spend their money on things that can be seen. He said, it appears what sells houses are things they can see, such as large bathtubs that can accommodate two or more people at one time, and flashy stairs, and glitzy, unnecessary elements. They would rather have those rather than construction quality. As it is with homes today, so it is with people. Too many people put their effort into image and appearance and pay no attention to quality and character. Everything has characteristics. Some good, some bad. We as humans, we have characteristics. However, the variations between one human and the next can often be so immense that it's hard to pinpoint any common area between them. Same can be said of our Christian walk. While we should all have the characteristics of Jesus Christ, our Savior, it unfortunately is not so. One needs only to look at the prophet Samuel as he appointed King David as the king over Israel. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel. And we're going to be looking at chapter 16. And we're going to begin reading in verse 6. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." Now we're talking, of course, the son of Jesse. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. I like the message version of this. And then he asked Jesse, "This is it? Are there no more sons?" And Jesse said, "Well, yes, there's the runt, but he's out tending sheep." The runt? Well, how would that make you feel if your own daddy looked at you and said, "Runt"? But you know what? I can almost hear God going, "Yeah, but he's my runt. And I'm going to make him mighty in the eyes of man." Why? Because God saw his heart. Oh, that we would sit and commune with God like David did out there in those fields. That we would spend the time listening to his voice, singing songs to his mighty hand. Folks, when you get that close to God, it's going to make changes in you. When this man of God first came, why didn't I not send for David then? Was he not in the family? Did he not count? They called him a runt. Maybe he didn't. But the fact is, all the external appearances of the other brothers did not compare to the character of David. How many times in today's society do we hear, "Oop, another famous pastor bit the dust, got caught doing something he shouldn't have done, had his hand in the cookie jar, got caught," whether it's money, moral failure, whatever it is. It happens all the time. As men and women of God, people are looking to us to be examples of character. They're looking to us to be examples of Christ. And many times, we feel that the grace that we are given is permission to do whatever we want. Because I'll just pray and it'll be okay. God's looking for some Davids today. God's looking for people of character. People who will not compromise their beliefs. No, They will not compromise God's beliefs to fit in. I think of David and I think of the mighty oak tree. You know, we think of an oak tree and we automatically think, oh, the mighty oak. It's known for its strength and its endurance. It's able to withstand storms and still remain strong. It's preferred wood because of its strength and its beautiful pattern. Unlike the Bradford pear that we just had to cut down that fell on Jody's car, portion of it. Hey, how about that for a praise report? You have probably a 1,000-pound limb split off your Bradford pear tree and fall on your car and it doesn't get a scratch. Bends the antenna, which you can bend right back. But the pear tree, let's sit and look at that for a minute. How many of you know what we're talking about, a Bradford pear tree? They're the ones that in the springtime, they turn beautiful and white, have beautiful flowers. But you know what? That's like a lot of Christians because it's deceptive. It really is. From afar, they are so beautiful. But the fact is, they stink. You don't believe me? In the springtime when they bloom out, I see bees with gas masks on. All right, that may be going too far. But they do stink. I mean, they just flat out smell. Many times, we as Christians are a lot like that old Bradford pear tree. Boy, we bloom out, we dress up good on Sunday, wear the right clothes, got the right version of the Bible, whichever one that may be to you. I'm just happy if you got a Bible. But we come in looking good. But then when you leave the church, sometimes that odor starts to show. When somebody ticks you off and you flip them the one finger wave because they cut you off in traffic, or something goes wrong and you start letting the curse words fly, or something happens at work where you have to make a moral decision and you cave in. You're just a Bradford pear tree. You look good on the outside on Sunday, but you stink the rest of the week. We've all met Christians like that. Shoot, half the time I am one of those Christians like that. You say, but you're the pastor. I'm human. I fail just like everybody else. The difference is getting back up and asking God to forgive you and try to make it right. We need to remember God's not looking for what's on the outside. God is looking for what's on the inside. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 19. And I want you to read this one little verse. Your page is still turning. We're going to stop for a second. Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. God is looking Not the outside, but what's on the inside. How many times have you ever heard, you are what you eat? Put junk food in, you get junk food out. How many certified couch potatoes do we have besides me? Now, you won't admit it, but you know. That is my weakness. I sit there in front of that television, man, I got to have junk food. I don't care if it's popcorn, chips, dog food, I don't care. I'm going to eat something. But it's not good for me. Because instead, I need to be putting something good in my body. Instead of sitting there filling myself up with chips and carbs, I maybe need to eat some carrots or some celery sticks or something that's better for me. What's that?
I said a bushel of.
Yeah, I know. That's about it. But
what I do, I eat till I go to bed.
Hey, but you know what? That's a whole lot better for you than those old high sugary carbs. But you know, God isn't concerned with us looking the part. He's worried about what's on the inside. Think about the beech tree. How many of you have seen the beech tree? It's a smooth-skinned tree. It's got light grays and hues of blue. It's an unusual tree. You know, what's amazing about it is the fact that it's usually the last tree that sprouts in the forest. However, it grows very slowly and can live up to 400 years. It can grow very, very tall and push its way out of the top of the trees. It's going to get to that light no matter what happens. We could learn from the beech tree. It's pleasing to the eye. That's true. But you know what? The fact of the matter is, some places use it for furniture. Some burn it for charcoal, for heat. Some use its leaves for dye, for fabrics. And the tar from the beech tree is used by landscapers to protect other trees from rotting. It's called creosote. The tree can grow to be 80 to 100 feet tall. Now, let's compare that to the Christian walk, shall we? Christians sometimes are slow growing. We accept Christ, and for some of us, it just takes a little bit longer to get going. But the fact is, when we finally start reaching for that light, we can grow to extraordinary heights. When we finally quit worrying about what's around us and realize that we should only be concerned with ourselves in the respect of our relationship with what is above us. The downside of the beech tree. Or should I say Christians? More beech trees are used for pallets than anything else. Like Christians, they're underappreciated. Let's face it. If you're out there serving the Lord and you're witnessing to people, how many of you have ever had somebody go, "Glory to God, I was praying today that God would send me somebody to help me to get through this day, and thank God you witnessed to me, because I was lost for sure." No, that's never happened. That's never happened. Most of them say, "Get away from me. I don't want to hear that God stuff." You're underappreciated. But you know what? The one who truly appreciates us died on a cross for us. The one that we should truly seek his approval, he appreciates us. Like the beech tree, they reach a point where they become too large, and they begin to decay from inside. You look at some of these huge trees that you can't even, three people can't get their arms around it. Huge beech trees. And right at the base, you'll find huge, hollowed out, rotten places. Just like Christians, we decay from within. We rot from the inside out. And no matter how big you are, just as I spoke earlier, no matter how big you are in ministry, you decay from the inside out. So God's not looking at the outside. It reminds me of the story in Matthew. And if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Matthew. Chapter 20. Where the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, oh, when you come into your kingdom, will you allow my son, one son, to sit on your right side and my other son to sit on the left?" Whoa, that didn't go over well. That was not pleasing to anyone. Chapter 20, we're going to begin reading in verse 24. When the ten heard about this, we're talking the other disciples, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Why? Why were the others so upset? Was it because they didn't think of that first? Going and asking Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, let's hang out together after you get in your kingdom, you and me." Was it because they were so appalled that anyone would ask? What was the real reason? Well, you know what? Again, God knew their heart too, didn't he? He knew what their reasoning was. The truth is, many times, when we see someone else succeed, which it didn't happen in this case, but when we see someone else succeed, we get angry. Well, I've done more for the kingdom of God than he has. Why is it he's being blessed? Get it out, folks. Get it out. Because it's going to rot you from the inside. Think of the black locust. How many of you have ever been in the woods and you go walking through and you reach up, maybe you're climbing a hill or something, you reach up and grab that tree and get a handful of thorns? Gotta love those black locusts. I can't tell you how many times, I've got several on the property, and every time I walk up one trail, I grab that same stupid tree every time. You'd think I'd learn or cut it down one. I guess I'm just slow. I guess you have to hit me two or three times with a brick for me to go, "Ouch!" I always do it, that same trail. You know, this tree grows very rapid. A lot of people like it for the shade. It can withstand a lot of environmental stresses. However, like Christians, they're considered invasive nuisances, and most people don't want them around. It's hard. It's a very dense wood. It's strong. It's shock resistant. And used in manufacture of pallets, crates, mining timbers. You ever notice this? That the wood that is the strongest, gets used for the worst jobs. You ever notice that when God, when you're faithful and you're serving Him and you're prayed up, that God gives you the task that you want the very least? He sends you to talk to that one person that if you had a choice, he would no longer be there? You know what? That's because you are prayed up. That's because God knows that you can put aside your personal preferences, take on the mind of Christ, and do what He's called you to do. You may not be appreciated for it, but nevertheless, you're going to stand for what God has given you to stand for. You don't give in to the temptations of this world. You do what you're called to do. Oh, the black locust, it has one enemy. It's called the locust borer. And it'll bore a little hole into the bark of the wood, and then this wood becomes weak and will fall during a windstorm. Wow, it sounds like destruction from the inside again, doesn't it? What, though, would happen if we became, as a Christian people, became more like the weeping willow? The weeping willow. The weeping willow has massive roots that seek out water. The roots will dig far, wide, and deep to find that water. What if we as Christians got that dedicated about finding that living water? What if no matter what happened, we sought out the Holy Spirit? We sought out the Word of God. And it didn't matter if it meant we were going to have to shut our television program off 30 minutes early. We were going to spend that time searching for that living water. Do you think we would have a greater, stronger foundation? The interesting thing about the willow tree is the fact that it can be used for healing. The salicylic acid, which is used in aspirin, have been used for years by the Native Americans to get rid of headaches. And the leaves, the flowers, can be used in a tea that helps eliminate toothaches. As Christians, aren't we supposed to bring the great healer, the great physician? Aren't we supposed to have the power and authority of Jesus Christ? The wood from the weeping willow is strong. It can take a beating. It can take abuse without bruising or denting. And as a consequence, because of that, they use it for baseball and cricket bats. As a Christian, we are going to suffer persecution and abuse. Now the question is, when we do, are we going to be useful anymore? Or are we going to run around going, I served the Lord, and look what He let happen to me. I went and I gave my tithe to the church, and now a bill came in and I can't pay it. You know what? Are you going to hold your faith and say, you know what? My Lord's got it all under control. What He's doing, He's letting us stretch those roots out a little more. If everything goes well, you're not going to search for that living water. You ever notice you draw closer to God when you're going through a difficult time? Oh, if everything's going well, how often do we call on Him? That may be true, but I don't see too many of us running and going, Lord, make it a miserable day, so I'll call on You. No. I don't see too many pastors doing that either. There's a story of the pastor who had a very, very difficult woman in his congregation. She gossiped, she complained, she refused to pay her tithes. All she ever wanted to do was criticize how the pastor did things. And she came one day and she came under conviction. And she went to the pastor and she said, Pastor, I'm sorry, God has convicted me. I need to repent. Please forgive me. He said, Sister, it's okay. I wish I had 10 like you. Pastor, I have bad-mouthed you. I have degraded you. I don't pay my tithes when I know I should. Everything that I know is wrong, I did. He said, I know. She said, why would you want 10 of me? He said, because I got 50. Okay, moving on. The weeping willow is able to tolerate sulfur dioxide. It's able to prevent soil erosion. And it's often planted to combat the effects of soil contamination. Do you hear what I said? We live in a contaminated world, folks. It's full of filth. And many times you say, God, why did you put me here? These people hate me. I think every one of them is devil worshipers. They're evil. Why did you put me here? Because He's helping you to prevent the continued erosion. Because He's helping you to be used to clean up the contamination. He's putting you in a place where you can be most useful. And as you go through those difficult days, that's when you call upon the name of the Lord. That's when you seek out the Word of God. And that's when you see changes start to come. A little known fact about the weeping willow. World famous botanist Carl Linnaeus named the tree after mistakenly believing that it was referenced in the Bible. Turns out the tree he was thinking of was actually a poplar. Not popular, poplar. Still, the name stuck, and for centuries, the weeping willow has been used as a symbol for grief, sadness, and sorrow. So too is the life of a Christian whose foundations are in Jesus Christ. This may be a different way of looking things. But I want us to realize we will suffer persecution. We will have difficult times. But it's not without God knowing it. He places us in situations for a reason. And when we are in those situations, we need to continue to grow strong in Him. We need to continue to reach up and reach out and seek the Lord in all that we do, so that we will have an influence in those around us. You've heard about the oak, the mighty oak. You've heard about the beech tree. In fact, greater than the oak. You've heard about the black locust. And you've heard about the weeping willow. You don't hear too many people go, oh, that mighty weeping willow. You don't hear too many people go, Oh, what an awesome example of a Christian they are. Maybe within Christian circles only. We're not looking for the accolades of the world. We're looking for the approval of our Father. And He's looking at what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. So we know the characteristics of each. Which one do you want to be today? You want to be the black locust? Hard, covered with thorns that anybody who tries to reach out to you gets hurt. That'll preach. Or do you want to be like that weeping willow that is flexible but yet strong, that will take the abuse and keep coming back, that knows where its foundation is? We serve a mighty God. He is the provider of all our need. Many times we get confused with need versus want. If you have a car and it runs and it gets you to and fro, praying to God for a new car probably is not going to be in your best interest, because He's provided your need. It doesn't have to be an Escalade. Nothing wrong if you have an Escalade. But the point is, make sure that what you're asking for is truly a need. Don't get confused and think, well, God didn't answer my prayer. No, He provided your need. And when we focus on Him, it says He will give us the desires of our hearts. So why doesn't it come? Maybe the desires of our heart didn't come at a certain point because we were asking amiss. Our heart wasn't right. When our heart's right, He's going to answer those prayers. When the inside is clean, He'll make a show of the outside, not on you, but of what He's done for you. The tree that each one of us shall become is determined by the soil in which we're planted in. What foundation are you planted in? What type of tree do you want to be? I'm going to ask you right now, if you're able, set your Bibles down. I want you to come up here and we're going to pray over His prayer box. There's still needs that people have. If you're not able to, I want you to lift your hands this way. You know what, folks? I want to see God move in a mighty way. Let it begin today. Yes.
You know, of course, you get the fruit that the tree gives, the fruit that it gives. But you think, you've made me think here, talking about changing from the inside, that if you want to change the type of tree you are, God, since He changed from inside, He can change the seed that's inside of you, so you're able to grow a different tree. So it just made me think along those lines.
Absolutely.
So people are like, well, I'm this way, and I can't change, but yes, they can.
Oh, that'll preach all day. I'm a black locust and I just can't change. I'm sorry, folks. I disagree with you. Just as He said, when Christ comes in, we become a new creation. We change our DNA. We become a child of the Most High God. Folks, don't tell me you can't change. I was much a heathen as anybody. Still am sometimes, but God forgives me when I repent. But we can change our DNA. We can become what God wants us to be. We're going to go ahead. Squeeze in there, folks. Do whatever you need to. I want some folks to thank you. Yeah. Any other prayer requests? Again, get those out in the foyer, bring them in here, and we're going to go ahead and we'll continue to pray over this through the women's conference.